God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, the first 9 verses. And before I get into our text, I sort of have to ask you to sort of be honest with me. How many times have you been driving down the road and someone all of a sudden seems to be driving a little out of control, passes you like you're not driving at all, and just seems to keep on going and going and going, and out of a little frustration you sit there and say, you know, where is the local law enforcement agency when you need them? Only to find that a few more miles down the road, the local law enforcement agency was there and got them pulled over. To which you respond, yes, there is justice in the world. Now, the next scenario. You're not paying attention. And you keep going after your little smug smile on your face. And your speedometer runneth over a few miles per hour over. And there's another law enforcement agent who pulls you over. What's your reaction then? Yes, justice prevails. Or, why did I get caught? Too often in our lives, when we see the bad guy getting what he deserves, we sit there and we have that little smug smile and say, yes. But when bad things cross our path, we usually don't have a smile on our face. We're usually one of the first ones to complain to God and say, God, why me? He deserves it a lot more than I do. Well, guess what? Our text for today tells us nothing's changed. There were some times during the people in the time of Jesus who had the same thoughts and the same things go into their mind, that if something bad crossed their path, then obviously they couldn't figure out why God was chastising them. But if something bad crossed their enemy's path, they're like, good, they got what they deserved. Our text from Luke chapter 13 brings that up. And notice what Jesus' response to that was. To two sort of tragedies, one in which Pilate mixed their blood with their sacrifices, and the other when the Tower of Siloam fell upon them. Jesus doesn't take the bait and say, you're right, those people over there are really bad. No, just the opposite. He begs the question, do you think that those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? And he answers by saying, no. Again, do you think those who were guilty are more guilty than those others living in Jerusalem? Again, the answer is no. But then reaffirms the question, unless you repent, you too will perish. See, too often in our society, we're so quick to point the finger. We're so quick to say, there is evil over there, or there is evil over there. We have, you know, various people we can sort of conjure up in our minds. Those people we hate, those people we despise, those people we just can't stand, and we think of those people as evil. We see the evil events in the world, and we're saying that's because of all the quote-unquote sinners in the world. And what Jesus here is very quickly trying to get us to realize is that, yes, there is sin, yes, there is evil in the world, but guess what? Because of our own sinful nature, because of our own deliberate sins, there's evil right here, even in my heart. Too often we're quick to blame other people, and we are so satisfied when we see, quote-unquote, justice taking place, the evil people getting what the evil people deserve. But what about us? Do we get what we deserve? Remember, as God says through Paul, the wages of sin is death. Yes, someone may be speeding greatly 20, 25 miles per hour over the speed limit, and they get pulled over, and we say, yes, justice prevails. And if we're speeding a couple miles over the speed limit, and we happen to be in one of those zones that are zero tolerance, guess what? A couple miles is still over the speed limit. Do we sit there and say, yes, I guess we got what we deserve? Very often we're always quick to complain, saying, why me? And Jesus begs the question, why not you? Don't be concerned about those evil people. Be more concerned about you. For me, be more concerned about me, myself. The reason why is Jesus is trying to point us to the fact that we need a Savior, that we need the repentance, that we are also the same evil as the evil in the rest of the world. Let's put it this way. How many of you have ever been baptized? I'm going to take a wild guess. Probably all of you. You've been baptized, and what happened when you were baptized? Someone in the stead of Christ made the sign of the Holy Cross upon you and put water upon you three times, connecting God's holy word to that. Why? Because whether you are a baby or as an adult, you are a sinner. Even that cute, adorable baby is a sinner. And because of that, sin is destined to eternal death and damnation. How often do we lose sight of the fact that, yes, we needed to be baptized? We are those evil people. But yet we're quick to point the finger and saying, look at all the evil out there. What a wicked world we live in. And Jesus is trying to get us to point the finger back at ourselves and saying, evil resides in here. The reason why God wants us to look at the evil, even in our own lives, is for the same reason why we have the church, the proclamation of God's word, the administration of that sacrament. The church is for sinners. Jesus came to die on the cross for the sins of all people, and unless if we realize that we are sinners, that we are evil, then we have no need or purpose for Jesus in our lives. The worst thing about it is sometimes the people who claim to be Christian, who come to church on a regular basis, are so quick to point the finger at everyone else, they lose sight that they themselves are sinners and that a worse tragedy has occurred. Yes, there are evil people out there. That's fine. But then someone who quote-unquote calls themselves a Christian has lost sight of the whole meaning of Jesus' death upon the cross. It was for the forgiveness of our sins. Not so that we'd have something to do 1 hour a weekend. Not so that we have some place to gather for potlucks and fun times or to do Bible studies. No, the church is here to exist, to proclaim God's word, to administer those sacraments to sinners. And unless if we realize that we are no worse than the quote evil people out there, we have lost sight of our own sin and our own need for a Savior. But God doesn't want to leave us there at that point. The reason why He wants to draw us and have us remember our baptism, remember why we're sinners, is so that we know why we need to come to God's house, why we need to hear God's word, why we need to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of that sin, to reaffirm this relationship, to grow in this relationship, to realize that, yes, I am in need of a Savior, and there is only one Savior that can deliver us from sin, death, and the devil. There's only one person who died on the cross. There's only one person who can redeem us, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We trust in nothing else, not in our own good works, not in how we say that we're a Christian, not in what we do. We trust only in our Savior, His death, and His resurrection. Jesus goes on to tell a parable which fits very, very well. A parable about a man who had a fig tree, and after 3 years it still didn't yield much fruit. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians in the world who think that they are doing very good, that they're very strong in the faith and a very well-developed Christian. But guess what? They're bearing no fruit. What is the fruit? Well, first of all, repentance, love, sharing God's forgiveness with those around us. All these things are related. The good works that us Christians do as a response of God's love and saying, yes, Lord, thank you. I appreciate your love. I appreciate your forgiveness. Here's what I want to do because of that love and forgiveness. We have a lot of people claiming to be Christians and not bearing any fruit. And notice the dialogue here. The man who owned the vineyard said, all right, let's cut it down. And the person who took care of the vineyard said, no, let's feed it. Let's fertilize it. Let's care for this tree one more year. Jesus is wanting us to do the same thing. He's trying to care and feed us and fertilize us, so to speak. to produce that good fruit. He wants us to realize that we ourselves are sin and that we've been saved by His precious blood, His death upon the cross. And yes, there is evil in the world, but we need to realize that evil is also within us. We come here this evening, yes, because we have sinned. We come here this evening, as we said in our confession, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." We say that those words with sincerity, not just paying lip service to God, but to admit we are sinners. We come here today seeking the Lord's grace, as we say in the Kyrie, "Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy." And what do we get out of all this? Did you hear the words of absolution? "I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, therefore forgive you your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," just as if Christ Himself were standing here forgiving us. Powerful words, but do we take them to heart? We do take them to heart if we understand our sin. We do take them to heart if we truly realize that we are evil. But if we came here tonight thinking, "Yeah, I'm not a bad person, I haven't really screwed up too much in life," then we hear those words and we just go on saying, "Okay, when's the sermon coming? When's the offering? When do I get out of here?" Those words don't have much meaning to us. Don't really shake us or rattle our cage. We don't sort of sit there and wipe the sweat off our brows and say, "Yes, Lord, thank you." Unless we truly realize that we are the evil ones. Now, I'm not trying to excuse those people who do hideous crimes. Yes, there is a lot of sin and a lot of evil in this world, and God asks us not to repay evil with evil, but then challenges the Christian to go one step further. In case if you're wondering, the sermon takes us one step worse. We have to love those evil people. And that's hard. Just think of anyone who has done any harm to you in your life. Anyone whose sins you haven't yet forgiven. And you think of those persons and what happens? Your blood pressure increases, you get a little bit more tense, you get a little angry, and God all of a sudden says to you, "By the way, you're supposed to love them." And we might get angry with God and say, "God, how can I love them?" And when we miss the whole point of our text again. If we sort of realize that we are in the same category as they are, evil people, but yet God's love extends to us, doesn't God's love extend to them? We may say, "But Lord, that's not fair." You're right, it's not fair. We didn't deserve God's love to begin with. But through the person and work of Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, God took His wrath that He would have saved for us in our sins and placed it upon Jesus and His death. His resurrection showed that He paid the price. And God was satisfied with that price. Jesus lives. And because He lives, everyone who believes and trusts in that forgiveness of sins, that yes, Jesus did pay the price for our sins, will also live. And by the way, as Scripture reminds us, God wants all people to be saved. Not just those people we like or those people we get along with. Even those evil people in the world. That evil that we call, I should say. God still looks at them and says, "I still love them just as much as I love you." From God's point of view, there isn't a difference between someone who speeds 25 miles per hour the speed limit or just 3 miles per hour the speed limit. Our society may make a difference, but God says, "Wait a minute, it's still a sin." He looks at the evil people in the world and He looks at us and says, "Because of my Son Jesus Christ, those who believe have that forgiveness of sins. Those who don't, well, as our text said, cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? There is a hell. There is a devil. There will be a judgment. But God says, "Wait a minute, my love extends to all people." As Christians, we do the Lord's love and forgiveness and justice when we say, "I only want to share God's love with those people I like." God is calling us to share God's love with all people everywhere. And that has to first start with the evil person, myself. As I am forgiven by God, loved by God, cherished by God, God wants me to love, forgive
and share that love with those around us. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Notice the petition didn't add, just forgive us our trespasses. God wants to remind us, yes, we are evil. We are forgiven. We are loved by God. We are cherished by God. God loves us to all end. He's willing to die for us. And that love just doesn't stop with us, but it goes to all people everywhere. So the next time we find ourselves getting angry by what someone else has done, the next time we find ourselves seeking satisfaction in someone else's pain or misery, we have to remember that we ourselves have caused our Lord pain and misery, and He still loves and cherishes us. So on this day, we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, feed us. Strengthen us with Your Word. Remind us of that Word connected with the bread and the wine for the strengthening of our faith, the forgiveness of our sins. And we ask the Lord to use us as His tools and instruments to a world that's filled with a lot of pain, a lot of agony, and a lot of evil people. And yes, Lord, we're one of them. And as God's love redeems evil people like you and me, He redeems evil people throughout the world. So we ask the Lord to help us, or to use us as His tools and instruments, so that God's love will go to all people, as that is what God's will is. But for tonight, we just are left with the concept that, yes, God loves evil people, and we're one of them. So we thank the Lord that He was willing to die for evil people like you and like me. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.